always been a big question over who wrote this. I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible just the way it's written in the Word of God. And there's no doubt about who wrote it. Simon Peter wrote it. Because the first two words says Simon Peter. So there's no doubt about who wrote it. And I get weary of these folks that they just can't seem to, by faith, believe and accept all that's in the Bible. It's all there. You can trust all of it, rely on it, live on it, build your home and your hopes on it. You can believe what God says. The first part of this particular book and then this chapter, he gives a lesson in addition. Talks about some things that we need to add one to another. And then he starts going on a little expedition, if you will, realizing that his time of departure is at hand. There's no doubt about it. He knows that he's facing death. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus hath showed me." In other words, God has given him a vision that his days are coming to a close. He's about to die. He said, "Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." Well, he said, "I'm getting ready to die, and there's some things that I want to remind you of." He's under tremendous pressure. You know, the entire church was under pressure at this time. And I think anything you do for God, you're going to meet some pressures in life. It's how you remain faithful in the time of pressure that you'll receive the greatest blessings in your life. They used to say, the old-timers, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a live one to go upstream. There's pressures against us in life. All of us face pressures. In this time of pressure, he knew that there was persecution in the church. He knew that his days were coming to a close. His time was running out. But he said, "There's some things that I want you to remember." I think, you know, it's amazing. When he looked at his life, he said, he could have said, really, a lot of things that he'd like to be remembered by, but I was amazed. He didn't say, "Remember me as the preacher that preached on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls were saved." He didn't say that, but he could have. He didn't say, "Remember me that I'm the one that walked on the water." He didn't say that, but he could have, because he did. He didn't say, "Remember me because I'm the one that experienced that dynamic, miraculous jailhouse deliverance." He said, "When I walked out after prayer and singing with the bars under my arm," he could have said that, but he didn't say, "Remember me for that." Now, most folks, they want to be remembered for what they have done. But instead, in verse 17, he said, "If I could ask you to remember anything and stir up anything in your remembrance as I'm leaving," he said, "I want you to remember that Jesus, from God the Father, received honor and glory." A little while this morning, as God helps me, I want to preach on the glory of the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll get to a place where we'll want folks to see us more than they see the glory of the Lord. We need glory in our lives, folks. I got to thinking about this last night, driving back from the service last night. You know, there's a lot of words. I don't know, we've all got our words when we praise the Lord. I shout hallelujah and amen and praise the Lord. I thought, you know, you can just about define most of those words. But I started thinking, wonder what a definition for glory would be. And the only definition I could come up with for glory was glory. When you say glory, that goes beyond all of our realm of human thinking. Because it sets in the heavenlies, and it's a word that belongs to God Himself, and it's something that you and I can never manufacture in ourselves. the glory of the Lord. And it's all through the Bible. Oh, we see God's glory coming down. And I don't know about you, but I like to be around the glory crowd. I like to see the glory come. Don't you? Last night I told Candy, I said, my, the glory of God was so heavy in that place. One fella got so happy shouting, he ran out and climbed a telephone pole and was shouting outside the church. And my, the glory of the Lord came down. I like to see God's glory. You know when folks usually see the glory of God the greatest? It's when they're the most tired. That's usually when they see the greatest glory of God. I know that Peter had to be just about exhausted at this point, but he said, still, when we were weary, when we were confused and didn't know where to turn, said, the Lord took us up to the holy mount, and we saw the glory of God. Oh, he said, I never got over that experience when I saw God's glory. It's usually when you face the times in life that you're the most weary that you'll see the greatest glory of God. That's why you remember it was Moses after that he had struggled and prayed and the battles were so heavy that he finally got alone in that place of solitude, standing on the mountain. Why did God show himself unto Moses on the mountain? Because there was a cave there. He was saying Moses was on the mountain and he was tired, but he was still on the rock. And he said, Lord, I'm so tired. He said, Moses, what can I do for you? He said, God, if I could just see a little bit of your glory. God said, oh, glory to God. God said, well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll hide you in this cave and I'll put my hand over you. And he said, when I pass by, you can just look at my hinder parts as I go by. Look at my back. And they said when Moses came off the mountain that they had to put a veil up because they saw the glory of the Lord upon him. I think of Solomon. He had worked and done his best to build the temple of God. He was almost completely exhausted. He was worn out. But it came dedication day for the temple of God. And he said, I think it would be good if we have a word of prayer. Oh, bless the Lord. He started praying. And the Bible says that the glory, the Shekinah glory of God came down and filled the temple. I tell you how strong the glory was. Folks put their head inside the door and passed out. Oh my, that's glory, my friend. When we get the most weary in body, that's when we see the glory. Isaiah had one of his best friends, King Uzziah, to die. And he said that he thought as though that he'd just come to the end of his journey. And he didn't find strength to carry on. But he said, I looked and I saw him. And he said, I saw his glory. And he said, the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple of God. When did he see the vision of God's glory? In the same year that King Uzziah died. I'm saying when you get the most weary in body, that's when you see God at his greatest. Sure, there's struggles and sure there's strife and sure there's problems. But thank God through the time of weariness, that's when we see the greatest glory of God. Oh, I love the glory crowd, don't you? Folks that have a yearning and a longing for God's glory in their church. Amen. I'll tell you three places you won't see the glory of God. You won't see the glory of God in these modernistic churches. Why? God won't tabernacle there. He won't do it. Why? Because they don't believe in His glory. They don't like His glory. They're afraid of His glory. They're afraid something will happen bigger than what they are. They like to control things. And when God's glory shows up, we lose all control. God takes the reins and they don't like that. They like to control their service and they like to control their prayers and they like to control their sermons. And listen, I appreciate everyone's here today, but I'll just say this to you. If you're looking for that kind of church, you best run me off right now because that's not the kind of church that the glory of God can be seen in. There has to be a welcome spirit inside the church where we abide under the shadow of the Almighty and welcome God's presence and God's glory. Here's something else. You won't see the glory of God. And this is true in all a lot of places all over this area now. We have a lot of churches that's fundamental. Sure, they believe the Bible. Sure, they believe the Word of God. They even preach the truth. They have good singing, but they're dead. Just because you're fundamental doesn't mean the glory of God is there. You can be fundamental and have convictions and have right standards and know what's right and live by it and, brother, be deader than 12 o'clock. You won't see the glory of God in those kind of places. Now, most folks think that all churches are alike. And you know what? Most of them are becoming alike. And it's true that they're polished, and it's true that they know the message, and it's true that they know the truth of God's Word. But I tell you what, they don't crave the glory. Tell you something else. This may not sit too well, but I'll say it anyway. You won't find the glory of God in these contemporary hippified churches either. You won't find no glory in those churches. Oh, I'm sick of this bunch. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come as you are, leave as you are. You know, if you're golf course on Sunday morning, just come on in. Just the way you're dressed and sit down, and we'll keep it short, sweet and full of meat, and go right back out. I'm not looking for a crowd to come as they are, nor to leave as they are. Someone said, well, that's old-fashioned. No, it's not. I'm expecting God to show up. And when God shows up, I want to be shaved and my hair combed right and the right clothes on. I'm saying, Lord, I'm looking for You to show up this morning, so I want to look my best for God. Somebody say amen. I'm busy preaching right now. We ought to say, Lord, we're expecting Your glory. Now, if you get to feeding on things outside of the glory of God, it can be right and it can be good. I tell you what, I'll just be honest with you. I couldn't listen to about half this Christian programming even on radio and on TV. I'd die, brother. There hadn't been anyone moved so long in those services, and they're terrified to say amen. Oh, but preacher, they're so educated. I tell you what I'm looking for. I'd rather be in a service. Bless God. I've been privileged over my life to be in some meetings with some of the great preachers that have lived in years gone by. That they didn't have PhDs, and they didn't have a lot of education, but I tell you what they had. They had the glory of God on them. And when they'd stand and preach, you could see God's glory on them. Oh, Lord, give us the glory in this day and in this generation that folks can look and say, the glory of God is there. A dear old saint of God last night come up to me after church and said, preacher, I'll be honest, I can't remember a whole lot of what you said. Said, but I know one thing. When you started preaching, I saw the glory come down. And said, it wasn't long till it passed by me and I got on board. Oh, thank God for the glory of God that comes by every now and then and picks us up and encourages our heart. Oh, we need God's glory in these days. Where can you see the glory? Let me give you some places where you can see the glory of God. I'll give you seven places where you can find the glory of God. First of all, you see the glory in the cradle. The manger. Thank God. Oh, bless the Lord. One day, Jesus turned to the Heavenly Father and said, I'll go down and I'll become a man and I'll take on the sin of mankind and I'll bleed and I'll die and I'll become flesh so that I can crucify sin in the flesh. He said, this is what I'll do. I'll lay down my royal robe. I'll just fold it up because, Father, I'm going away, but I'll be back. And finally, all the angels of heaven gathered together. And on that black night, now think about this, for 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there wasn't a prophet in the land. There wasn't anyone to say anything about God. Almost all vision was gone. That's how the writing of Matthew starts out. There was no real revelation of God in that time. But there were some that were still looking for the Messiah to come. But I tell you what, all the angels gathered around the banisters of heaven and they said, don't let him go, Father. Don't let him go. But Jesus stepped down over the golden embattlements of heaven and came down in a lowly manger. And the angel said, can we go? God said, here's how far you can go. You can go in the the heavens. And when they came, you know what the heavenly host had to say? Glory to God in the highest. I read of Simeon a few years later when he was there expecting to see the Messiah. One day they brought Jesus, as the custom was, to the temple. And when they brought him in, when old Simeon looked at him, oh, glory to God, he said, "My eyes have seen the glory of his salvation." Thank God you'll see the glory of God in the cradle. Hey, another place you can see the glory of God is in a Christian. You can see God's glory on people. Now listen, you're not going to... I hope you handle this all right. Glory isn't contagious. We get that in our mind. What it is, you know the biggest problem some of you have? You come to church and you hope somebody else is already prayed up, fired up, and ready to go, and that a little bit will splash over on you when you get here. Instead of coming with a little bit of glory in your soul. You can't live on other people's blessings all your life. You're going to have to be blessed yourself every now and then. That means that folks ought to be able to see a little glory in your life before you ever get to church. They ought to be able to see a little glory in your life when you're out there in the world, when you're out there doing your job and your daily duties. They ought to see a little bit of glory in your life. And I'll tell you something else. The reason that most folks are wanting to run on other people's blessings is because they're meddling around in things that robs them of the glory of God. Now, if you mess with things that make you mad and you get itch upset and you get all sidetracked on things that don't matter for God's glory, before you know it, you're not worth anything when you come to church. You're down and you're out and you just hope we have a good meeting and maybe a little bit will splash over on you. But I don't want to live my life that way. You can think of me what you want to. I guess probably one of the greatest compliments that as a preacher I could ever have paid last week or so, when Bob's dad was at home there and the hospice nurses were in, there was one precious nurse there that I never met her, but I got to talking to her, and when we'd go in and God was just there. I can't describe it. God was just there. The glory of God was there. That didn't sound right when folks are dying, but God's glory was there. There was a peace that was there. And one day on the way out, she stopped me. She went outside for just a moment, outside the door, and she stopped me and she said, "Hey, is your church in Wheelersburg? I live in Ashland." She said, "You know, I see God all over you." I tell you what, I got in my car and closed the door. And I said, "God, wherever I go, I want folks to see God all over me. I want them to see the glory of the Lord. I don't want them to see a man that's living on somebody else's blessing. I want them to see God in me and God on me." And you know what? I can see God on you when you come in. I can tell if your head is down and your lip is dragging, if you've been alone with God. But if you come with a little glory in your soul, they don't have to sing three or four words until your hand's in the air and you're saying glory to God. Oh, thank God for the glory of the Lord that God gives us. You can see the glory in another Christian. There's been folks I've seen glory all over. Dear old Souter Hoople. Every time I see Souter, I see the glory of the Lord on him. Deb Evans. See the glory of the Lord on Deb. We've had some dear saints that's already in heaven. They had the glory of the Lord on them. Was there any doubt in your life that Cora Powell spent time alone with God? Was there a doubt one in your life that Grandma Ricky spent time reading her Bible and praying? Was there a doubt one that Arch Richard knew something about the glory of the Lord when he come to church? Oh, there's no doubt. I could go on and on and on. There are so many dear saints of God that's gone now that think, was there a doubt that our dear pastor, Brother Wilbur, spent time with God? I don't care how low you were. He could be around you 5 minutes and you were saying, "Oh, I can sense the glory of the Lord." He might shout on the telephone. It might be 5 a.m. that he's there. But oh, the glory of the Lord was there. That's what I'm saying. You can see God's glory in a Christian's life. Another place you can see the glory of the Lord is in the church. Now, granted, a lot of churches need to put Ichabod over the door. What's that mean? The glory has departed. They don't like that. Boy, I cannot believe here a few weeks ago. I got to go visit a camp meeting that I used to go to years ago. I'm not picking on anybody, but it made me sick. I could not believe how far they drifted from the glory of God. Oh, they're polished and they're sharp, but there's not an ounce of power there. No power at all. They need to put over their sign, "The glory has departed." Someone said, "Preacher, what do you think folks will come from hundreds of miles this week to be in camp? I mean, they're trying to get somewhere where there's a little bit of glory." And the problem is, in a lot of churches anymore, if you've got God's glory on you, folks think you've got leprosy. They want you to stay away from them. But you can see the glory in a church. I'm glad that I can look across and I see the glory of God on people's lives in our church services. I see the glory of God pass by. That's a wonderful thing. I'm glad yesterday morning at 6:30 in the morning, I saw the glory of God in the church. These men came out yesterday and went out into homes and was out on roofs. And you say, "Oh, preacher, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it." Well, you missed the glory. Amen? That's all you missed. Shake your head yes now. You missed the glory. The glory of the Lord was there. I hate it you couldn't be here too, because it was glorious. It was glorious to pull in and see all those men up on roofs and some of them dirty as homes. And I didn't hear one of them complaining about anything. And I just asked them to try to go until noon. I was down at Thelma's about 2 o'clock getting ready to leave to go up to West Virginia. And they were grabbing a bite to eat to just keep right on going. But I tell you what, I didn't see just a roof going on a house. I tell you what I saw. I saw the glory of the Lord. Do you know how much God's glory has been sitting on us around here lately? Let me ask you a question. How many weeks has it been that we've gone for an entire week without seeing somebody saved or somebody come to rededicate their life to God? You figure it out. I know. You figure it out. I was a little bit concerned. I don't get distraught. I don't get worried. I was a little concerned because last Sunday we didn't see anybody. But you know what God did? God gave us 2 on Wednesday. Isn't God good to us? The glory of the Lord. Thank God. I will tell you this. You go back about the time when Sue stood up on Sunday morning and came down the altar, and you start figuring every week after that. You start figuring every week after that. And you'll start figuring people that's been on the altar. How many times have we been out to the old baptismal hole putting people, burying them in the Lord? Oh, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. I thank God for His glory. I wouldn't embarrass you folks for anything in the world, but you know I couldn't help but think of it. I was driving down the road last night. I got back in by about the Barbersville, West Virginia exit, somewhere through there. Most of you folks don't even know. I mean, you don't know some of the things God's doing around here. You don't know. It's not worth keeping a secret to you. You just, if you could know, you'd look at this whole thing a lot differently. I'll guarantee you that. But back in 1991, I had a meeting down in West Virginia. And I'm not trying to embarrass anyone, but Bob and Sue were having some problems back then. Most folks didn't know it. And there was a storm came along, and it was awful. You couldn't see to drive. I got up by the Huntington Mall, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was a light just as bright as could be. It was reflecting off those clouds, and it flashed back, and what had happened is the owner airport's right there, and the storm had knocked their lighting system out, and they had rented some type of big lights to come in, big beacons. Oh, they were enormous, these beacons. And when they'd hit those clouds, every color that you could ever imagine would reflect off that light as it was just sweeping through the clouds. God spoke to my heart and He said, "Bob will remember this." He said, "You go to Bob Pelfrey tomorrow morning and you tell Bob Pelfrey you've seen the glory of the Lord. And you tell him to tell him and you tell Sue as well, the glory of the Lord has passed by and it's all right."
Folks, I'll just be honest with you. I never worried or fretted about it. Am I lying, Bob? Isn't that exactly what I told you? The lights was passing through. I said, there's lights in the storm. Oh, glory! Thank God for God's glory. God passes by, and in the darkness of the night says, I'm going to send a little glory down on your soul. God never leaves us without His glory and without His presence. The problem with some of you are, all you see is the clouds. You don't see the glory of the Lord sweeping through the clouds. And when this world gets as dark as it can be, you just look up, and there is God's glory. Glory of the Lord. See, another place you can see the glory is in the cross. Paul said, and if Paul had a right to brag, if there's ever a man had a right to brag, the Apostle Paul had a right to brag. But you know what Paul said? I will glory, save in the preaching of the cross. He said, no glory belongs to thee, but glory belongs the cross. Oh, there's glory in the cross. Another place you can see the glory is in conquered death. You know that Romans says that God raised Jesus from the dead, dead in glory? What was He saying? In the darkness of that tomb, before they ever got there on Sunday morning, the glory of the Lord had already passed by. There's glory in death being conquered. I'll tell you another place you can see the glory of the Lord is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. They were standing there and they saw Jesus taken up into the heavens. You remember what He said? As you see Him go, He'll come again. You know what the Bible says? A cloud received Him in glory. And when He returns, you know how He's coming? He's coming in glory. Such glory as the world has never seen before. Thank God, the coming of the Lord, He's coming in glory. Another place you can see His glory is in His coronation day. Let's get this right. He's not going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the thing is, He's just waiting for all of us to get home, to have the privilege to be there one day when we gather around His throne and say, glory, glory, glory to the Lamb that sits on the throne. All power and honor and glory and dominion belong to the Lamb that sits upon the throne. You know, we have inaugural days in this nation. Folks pay great prices for tickets to be there when a president takes office. And there's anxiety in the air, electricity in the air. And the whole world is watching because a president is taking office. But brother, there's a coronation day coming like the world has never seen. And that will be glory to me. I pray God's glory comes down on our church. Some of you need a little bit of glory in your soul. I'm not picking on you. You just need a little glory. Amen? Say amen. Amen. Need a little glory. That's why you need a little glory. Can't even say amen. You're waiting on somebody beside of you to get busy for God. You're waiting on somebody beside of you to get blessed. And you're waiting on somebody beside of you to sense the power and presence of God. Why don't you stop being the recipient? Why don't you start being the catalyst? Why don't you be the kind of person that when they come around, you can't wait to see them walk inside? There's people I can't wait to see them walk through those back doors because they come expecting the glory. They bring a little bit of the glory of the Lord with them. Instead of sitting there like a sponge saying, I'm going to soak up everybody else's glory, they come saying, God, I've come in the glory of the Lord. God's glory fills the house. That's what draws people to church. That's why folks will come to church because they're looking for a place where they can see the glory of the Lord. Amen. We've been doing a lot of work and publicity on the meeting coming up for our homecoming and dedication day. And you know, you've got to be real careful when God's good to you and gives you good offerings and good crowds and builds on. What will happen is you get to thinking, boy, look at us. What we're doing. So in most of the ads that's coming out, you'll see a phrase that we invite folks to come and see the new sanctuary and what God has done. But at the bottom of it, you'll see something like this. Rubyville Community Church, the church the Lord built. Well, I appreciate your money and I appreciate your effort, but come on, let's be honest about it. We could all have a stroke and none of us ever be able to give another dime or work another day in our life. It's the Lord that gives us the help. It's the Lord's glory that makes the difference. That's why I'm telling you, if you get out there and you invite folks to come in and they get in a few meetings like this, I mean, they've sat there so long, they haven't seen the glory of God around the area. I'm not picking on other churches. I'm just saying there's a lot of people don't want God's glory in this day. They're afraid they're going to be labeled as some type of a charismatic, fanatical type group. You better have God's glory on your soul. Tough days are ahead. Pressure's on. And it's going to get worse in the church world. You better have God's glory on. I just can't wait for some of you folks to get real hungry for the glory of God. I can't wait to see you the first time that you cut loose in the glory of God. Some of you have never been there. It's a wonderful place. I mean, the glory gets so thick you've got to have a CNI dog to get out. Amen. That's the way we need the glory of God. How you do it? I tell you how you do it. First of all, you start praising God for everything. Everything. Everything you praise God for. I praise God for my church. I praise God for my family. I praise God for my home. I praise God for my food. I praise God for everything. I praise God for my shoes. I praise God for my ties. Glory. I praise God for all the little things in life. I praise God for the grass when it grows. I praise God when we've got to cut the grass. I praise God when we don't got to cut the grass. I praise God when the corn comes on. I praise God when the corn don't come on. Thank God. You live in the glory of God. That's what I'm saying. We used to preach this a lot and talk a lot about it. And folks lived in the glory. And the truth of the matter is, the problem is, some of you folks, if you saw how the glory of God came years ago in churches, it'd scare you to death today. And now, preacher, if it gets real crazy around here, we might lose some folks. I don't know about you. I'm not looking for folks to put the fire out. If I get to burning, please don't pour water on me. Pour kerosene on me. Glory! You won't see the glory if all you do is just talk about bad things and worry about this and worry about that. Oh, but preacher, now listen, life is hard and life is tough. I know that. Well, sometimes you don't feel like praising the Lord. Where did we ever get that taught to us? That we've got to feel like praising. You've got to feel like raising your hand. You've got to feel like saying amen. You've got to feel like saying glory to God. That's not true. You'll find out the greatest victories God brought was when they praised God by faith. There is a faith that we must exercise in praising the Lord. Now, some of you are about to get loosened up around here, and I like that. Old Gary Hamilton back there, he's just about that close. He's got a voice loud enough when he says glory, he can ring these lights. Some of you are just about to break over. So if you're just about to break over, do me a favor. Get on the outside. Because I don't want you to hurt nobody when the glory comes. And you've got to get out of the aisles and take a holy walk. Say, glory to God. Glory to God. There's a little old fellow last night. He went outside about 3 times shouting. I lost sight of him for about 30 minutes. Finally, he came back in. You know what he had? Had an old drunk under his arm. So I caught him coming out of there, preacher. The old man was so full of God's glory, he's had 3 brain tumors. 3 brain tumors. If there's a man that doesn't have a right to praise God, it'll be that man. But he said, preacher, when the glory came, God said, what are you shouting about? Get on down the street and shout. And he said, I went down by the bar shouting and praising, waiting on somebody to come out. He said, I put my arm under him and said, you need the Lord, mister. You need the Lord. And the back doors flew open and the old man staggered down, but he walked out sober. Thank God. Why? The glory of God was there. Oh, the glory. That's the difference. That's the difference. The glory. Don't get afraid. Oh, I'm getting hallelujah goosebumps. Amen. I know I'm crazy. Tell me something I don't know. Amen? I'd rather be crazy than sit there dead. The glory! I know everyone don't like us. I know everyone don't love us. I know all of that. But you know, you can be the kind of person that people will be glad to see you walk inside the room. I've seen some of you have spells over the years. You haven't had one in a while. I'm just preaching at you. What's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? You haven't been on your feet in a while with your hands up. What's the matter with all preacher? I'm going through hard times. Did you hear what I said? When the pressure's on, when you're the weariest, that's when you see the glory the greatest. You see it the greatest. I don't feel like praising the Lord. Bless your heart. We're going to go ahead and praise God with or without you. But if we have a spell and the glory comes down, you better get where you can get out fast. Amen? Glory. The glory. You know, I had a meeting one time in a pasture field. Under a tent. They called the law out on us. It's a fact. I preached 5 minutes. 5 minutes, that's all I preached. 5 minutes. And they took over. They prayed. There was a dear fellow there in the area they'd prayed for years, his wife going to church. Man, 5 minutes in the service, he came down and he got saved. They got to shouting and the neighbor called the law out. Now, they tell me this after the fact that the patrolman said this. She called and said, they're disturbing the peace. He said, are they in the highway? Nope. He said, there's nothing I can do about it then. You better get down here. They're disturbing the peace. He came down. You know what happened? He got saved. That's right. He got saved. Came right on inside and got saved. And the next thing I know, he's going around that tent on the outside of that tent, just a whooping like an Indian. The glory! Thank God for the glory. So you young people, I haven't seen the glory of God on you since camp. You didn't leave the glory of God out there in that old building. You say, you're mean, preacher. No, I'm not mean. I want you to live in the glory. Say, well, you can't shout all the time. Why can't you? Why can't you? Oh, well, because life gets too heavy and gets too hectic. I don't know where we got all this mentality. Why all of a sudden are we controlled by, we preach everything spiritual and then all of a sudden everything is controlled by the temporal and by the earthly. I've got news for you. I don't care if you got a flat tire or not. God's still God. I don't care if your bank account's broke or not, God's still God. I don't care what you're facing, God's still God. Thank God for the glory that comes. And the only time this old boy's ever got in trouble is when I looked around to the things around and stopped looking to glory. That's when I get myself in trouble. Glory! There's no glory in your home, no glory in your life. You'll be in trouble, my friend. The glory of the Lord. Glory. 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 Just a moment as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Whatever y'all have would be fine. My, oh my, I sense the Lord all over this place. God, I thank you for your glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You need a little glory in your soul. We sing all these songs. I wonder sometimes if we mean them. Sing, He's all I need. Do we really mean it? I'm not trying to get you in a place where you live in an unrealistic world. It is very realistic. I'm not saying that your heart won't be broken. It will be broken. But I'm saying this, when the pressure's on, the glory's still there. How many here today, there's not a doubt in your mind you're saved, but now you be real honest with me. When it comes to just needing the glory of the Lord to touch your heart. You need that right now. You need that right now. You'd raise your hand and say, Preacher, I sure need the glory of God to fill my soul this morning. God knows the pressure you're under. You may be like Moses saying, I'm on the rock. But oh God, I need to see a little bit of your glory. Be honest and just raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher, that I'll see a little glory this morning. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Hands going up all over. God bless you. God bless your heart. God bless your heart. Thank you so much. Somebody else, just slip it up right now. God bless your heart. How many others? Slip it up right now. Young person, mom, dad, God bless you. Bless you, my brother. How many others? Just slip it up. Take it right back down. I need a little glory. Oh, preacher, I need to see the glory. God bless your heart. Bless your heart, son. How many others? Slip it up right now. Oh, I need glory, glory, glory in my soul. Somebody else? God bless your heart, sis. How many others? Just slip it up right now. Slip it up right now. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many here this morning you're away from God? And the glory of the Lord is passing by. You say, preacher, I'm not living for the Lord. I know that. I know God's not pleased with my life. There's some things that I need to give to God this morning. I've wronged God. I've wronged my fellow man. I'm not living in the glory because there's unconfessed sin in my life. Things aren't right, and I know it. Preacher, I'm not at peace with God and peace with myself and peace with my fellow man. Oh, preacher, pray for me this morning. Pray with me this morning. I'll give it to God. Heaven will come down and glory fill my soul. I'm not right with the Lord, and I know it. I'm not going to come and drag you out of your seat. Would you slip your hand up right now and say, pray for me. Pray with me, preacher. Pray with me. Pray with me. I need glory. Glory in my soul. How many of you just slip your hand up right now and say, I need prayer. I need prayer. God bless your heart. Well, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you just slip up your hand right now? Pray for me and pray with me. God bless your heart. Well, glory to God. Somebody else, just slip it up right now. Slip it up right now. Oh, preacher, pray with me. Pray for me. Somebody else, would you just slip up that hand right now? I need prayer. I need prayer. God bless your heart, sis. God bless your heart. Somebody else, just slip it up right now. Slip it up right now. Pray for me.